Hi, I'm Dr. Josh Hant, and welcome to Lifestyle Locker Radio, where we help you create an awesome life and lifestyle. From nutrition to fitness, mindfulness to peak performance, and relationships to money mindset, we bring you on an amazing journey to help you unleash your human potential. Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Josh Hant. I want to welcome you to Lifestyle Locker Radio. This is going to be a great episode. I really hope you pay attention. This is episode 230. And this is going to be an interesting episode because we're going to talk about the most controversial topic in the world right now, which is the COVID-19 vaccine. I'm going to be sharing this as video as well because the videos are really going to do its best justice. So if you're going to listen to the audio, I urge you to come in and check in again and watch the video. This is great. I'm also going to be sharing tons of information and content and video from a friend, an amazing person, Del Bigtree, and his company, the High Wire, and his other company, I Can Decide, which is the Informed Consent Action Network. I'm going to be sharing tons of information. I support them financially. I support them by sharing their information. So I have snippets of his show from his last show, which is episode 203, I believe. But you're going to see the links I'm going to be sharing as well. So everything I have, as far as the science, as far as everything, he's going to be sharing a ton of it, all of the actual data, all of the content, right, and all of the resources. And I'm going to share some websites as well, and I'm going to have all of those resources in the show notes for you. But I urge you to dive in, subscribe to The High Wire, go to thehighwire.com and do that. So the COVID-19 vaccine, wow. Quite crazy, right? There are so many people that are opting against it more than we've seen in a long time about any vaccine, and some are getting it. And we're seeing across the board, healthcare workers, I believe in the US, more than 50% are opting not to do it, and there's gotta be a reason why. So I wanna share the first video with you about this vaccine. It's gonna be a video from Tony Fauci and Dr. Tony Fauci, which may be infamous or famous, depending on how you want to look at him. But he's been the flip-flop king when it's come to masks, when it's come to the lockdowns, when it's come to the vaccine as well. And he uses a lot of words that may sound confusing. And we're going to go over some of these details off the start. So let's start with this first video. And you can listen. You're going to hear all of this. So here we go.
There are things, even if you're vaccinated, that you're not going to be able to do in society. For example, indoor dining, theaters, places where people congregate. At this point in time, it is unclear whether when you get vaccinated and you might be protected from clinical disease, which is the primary endpoint of the vaccine studies, that you could conceivably be infected, have virus in your nasopharynx, and at that same time have no symptoms. Which is the reason why we recommend and say you still need to wear a mask. Because if you do have virus in your nasopharynx, even though we hope that when the data comes in, it's gonna show that the very virus level is quite low and you're not transmitting it, we don't know that now. And for that reason, we wanna make sure that people continue to wear masks despite the fact that they're vaccinated.
So for all the people out there that have been waiting for this vaccine to save the day and bring this pandemic to an end, they are now completely shocked, upset, frustrated, pissed off, even though we have been trying to explain this for like almost 12 months here on The High Wire. I have been showing you the vaccine trials from the beginning, telling you it doesn't look like this thing stops infection, and we have made it perfectly clear that the endpoints of that trial never set out to even show that the vaccine could stop infection or transmission. Therefore, it would be useless to ending this pandemic or getting us to herd immunity.
So, how crazy is that? You can get this vaccine, but you really can't do anything anyway because you don't know what it's actually doing. It may not stop the transmission, and it may not stop you from contracting the disease as well. Wow, then what's the point? So I urge you to really take this into consideration and think about it. And the wild thing is this, is there are two words that I'm going to share with you that I think are important. There's something called clinical disease, and there is something that is the actual infection itself. So the infection is SARS-CoV-2. That's the important thing to remember. SARS-CoV-2 is the actual infection, the physical infection that gets into the body. COVID-19 is the expression of the symptoms of SARS-CoV-2. Right, those are the clinical symptoms as COVID-19. It's not the actual infection itself. It's just the symptoms that show as the disease, right? The clinical symptoms are COVID-19. The disease is SARS-CoV-2. So I want to be clear on that, and it makes, just to think about it. So the next video I'm going to share with you is, you know, there is concern around the world from different types of people, smart people, billionaires. And with all of the things, and I'm going to be sharing this on social media as well, on Facebook. And what we may find is this video may be blocked, censored, or taken down right away based on fact checkers, which we know have been censoring people that do not follow a specific agenda. So this next video comes straight from a very interesting guy. So check this video out.
Said something very similar. This is what smart people say when they don't recognize that their answer is going to go out to the world. Let's take a look at what we played this last week. Here's what Zuckerberg had to say.
I do just want to make sure that I share some caution on this, because we just don't know the long-term side effects of basically modifying people's DNA and RNA to directly encode in a person's DNA and RNA, basically the ability to produce those antibodies, and whether that causes other mutations or other risks downstream.
Wow. So Zuckerberg, which is someone that their company is pushing for, you know, stopping the false news about vaccines, or about the COVID-19 vaccine specifically, is not sure if he's probably going to even get it, because they don't even know what the long-term effects are when you start to write into the genetic code. That is crazy. That is absolutely crazy. So there's a lot of controversy, right? That, you know, you see this. I want to bring this to your attention, because there's a lot of things that the mainstream media will not share with you. And that's why my friend, my colleague in the trenches here, Del Bigtree, his show is essential to connect with and essential to learn from. The way you may turn on the news and see what's going on in the world, it might not be true. The reporting, I know, may not be reporting, because realize the largest funder for the media in advertising is the pharmaceutical companies. So how quickly do you think they're going to tell you something that doesn't look good when it comes to vaccines or medicine in general? They're not. That's not their job. They don't want to lose their funding. That's where their paychecks actually come from. So it's a very distorted reality that we're living in. And I want you to just really pay attention. So the next thing I'm going to share with you, is about the actual science. And this next clip is a little bit longer that I'm going to be sharing with from Del Bigtree. And he's going to be going into a little bit of the science. So just pay attention, maybe sit down, listen. But this is about the efficacy, about the actual vaccine trials that we've all heard of. And we've all heard them saying, oh, it's 94% effective, 95% effective, depending on the vaccine. So let's pay attention. Let's see what the research actually shows. Here you go.
Pull your chairs right up here and let's just go through the trials, shall we? Okay, when we look at the Moderna and the Pfizer trials, this is what they explained to us. Here's just what they were talking about: a study to evaluate efficacy, the number of participants with a first occurrence of COVID-19 starting 14 days after the second dose. So I'm pointing this out so that you understand this, that what they're saying is 14 days after the second dose was when they determined that famous 95% efficacy. And then in the other trial, study to describe, which one is this? Is this Pfizer? This is Pfizer. First was Moderna. This is Pfizer. Study described the safety tolerability, confirmed COVID-19 in phase 2-3 participants without evidence of infection before vaccination from 7 days after the second dose. Now, remember, we talked to you about what these numbers were. So 7 days for Pfizer after the second dose, they determined they were 95% effective. 14 days after the Moderna second dose, they determined that it was around 95% effective, but not effective at stopping the infection known as SARS-CoV-2, but only at stopping the symptoms. Here's why this is becoming a problem, and this is what I'm going to focus on. This is Moderna. They had 11 infections in the vaccinated group within 14 days after the second shot. They admitted it right there. And this is where they said it was 95% effective. This is where the lie began. The world started thinking Meghan McCain didn't get it, and Ben Shapiro and Joe Rogan all thought that meant 95% effective at stopping the illness. It's not. It's at stopping your symptoms. But look what they're admitting right there, that 11 of the cases, they had 11 people 14 days after getting the second shot, they already had 11 people that had caught COVID anyway. The vaccine was already failing in the trials is the point that I want to make here. And for Pfizer, if you look at their numbers, it was 7 days out after the second vaccination had gone through the whole protocol. They had 9 people that already had caught the virus after receiving the second shot. Those are huge numbers. Within just like a week or 2 weeks, you already have people getting sick. But I want to remind you, we brought this to your attention, that the British Medical Journal publisher or editor, Peter Doshi, did an investigation deep into the trials, and he pointed out something that was really disturbing. Here's the article and what he had to say. Peter Doshi, Pfizer and Moderna's 95% effective vaccines, we need more details and the raw data. Look what he goes on to say. Pfizer reported 170 PCR-confirmed COVID-19 cases split between 8, I think it ended up being 9, but he's saying 8 people that were in the vaccinated group where the vaccine had failed them, they had gotten symptoms, and 162 people that got symptoms that hadn't gotten the vaccine at all. They were in the placebo group. Obviously, they could still catch it, but the point is 8 people caught it after getting the vaccine. But these numbers were dwarfed by a category of disease called suspected COVID-19. Those with symptomatic COVID-19 that they refused to PCR test for one reason or another, which is very suspicious. According to FDA's report on Pfizer's vaccine, there were 3,410 total cases of suspected but unconfirmed COVID-19 in the overall study population. 1,594 occurred in the vaccine group. 1,594 people within just weeks of receiving the second vaccine had already caught the illness anyway. So when Tony Fauci is sitting there saying, we're still waiting on the data, I'm sorry. That is baloney. You are not waiting on data. And by the way, we don't need to wait for Biden to inject 100 million people in America and millions of people around the world that are now using it on an emergency use basis. That's not where our information should be coming from. And by the way, we reported last week, New York Times is saying that that surveillance system won't even really be up and running until after all these people are vaccinated. So that's not who we should be studying. There is one simple question that needs to happen right now. And by the way, no one will let me in the White House. If you do, we'll start getting some truth in there. But Tucker Carlson or Laura Ingraham or any of these people that seem to have enough guts to ask a decent question, can someone ask Tony Fauci this question? How many people right now in the Pfizer trial that are still in that trial, by the way, and how many people in the Moderna trial that are still in that trial right now, by the way, can we go ahead since we paid you billions of dollars to study this vaccine from all over the world? You have all the money in the world. You're going to make a killing off this vaccine. Can you do me a favor? Will you PCR test all 45,000 people in the one trial and all 30,000 people in the other trial? In fact, no, let's just limit it to those that got the vaccine group. We'll cut it in half. We'll save you some money. So about 15,000 people in one trial and about 22,500 people need to get a PCR test right now. And tell us, how many people are testing positive for having gotten wild COVID-19 or SARS-CoV-2 virus after having received their second shots. Really easy, Tony. We don't need to wait till the end of time. And Ben Shapiro's tired of being confused about this. So is Meghan McCain. So maybe you two pull it up. You pulled up your chairs. Maybe you guys can help me ask this question. How many people have been infected with the virus after the second shot? That's what trials are there for. That's what these people submitted themselves to. And that's what we paid you to do. Let's get to the bottom of it, because we know in the very beginning of this trial, we already had nearly 10 in each group just a week or two into this. I'll bet you it's in the thousands. And I bet you they know, because they have no trouble lying or fudging the facts. There's a reason Tony Fauci and no one in the world is saying this vaccine stops infection. Remember, we're like 3 months into this now. They do know, and they're not telling you that. Ben, I have news for you. If you want to get that vaccine to protect yourself from the virus, go right ahead. Not going to stop you. Megan, you too. But if you think it's going to protect grandma or somehow get us to herd immunity, you are kidding yourself. And in fact, you are not doing the proper research. Here's what you need to know. This is the current worldometer around the world. This is where the virus is at all on its own. We have roughly, what is it, 20? Do we have that? Here we go. It's coming. Worldometer has the current infection rate for the entire world. You're going to find this really interesting. Ben, Megan, Joe, Wendy, here it is. There's 21,961,486 people currently infected with SARS-CoV-2 in the world. 21,869,506, otherwise known as 99.6% of them, are considered to be mild conditions, meaning they got the sniffles and maybe a cough. So while you're terrified and got your hair on fire and need to protect yourself, I think you have to ask yourself, bring it back up. Megan, Ben, Joe, Joe's out, he's not getting it, but Megan and Ben, do you really think that you're in that 0.4% group in the world that are seriously ill, that have other comorbidities that are putting them at risk, that you're in that 0.4% that's going to have a serious or critical reaction to the virus? This vaccine doesn't stop any of that. And I think they're going to have to admit that at some point. And I'm glad that you're getting frustrated, those of you that have been pro-vaccine the whole time. You deserve to be frustrated. You've been lied to. You should have looked beyond it, or you should have watched the high wire. But those are the facts, Jack.
Wow. Wow, wow. So, pretty intense, right? So, if you follow Dell and you follow the high wire, you can go back and watch past episodes, and he goes through the science really, really deep on the vaccine trials, what they mean. I know you just got a snippet of it, and there's more stuff coming out every week, so you can definitely connect with him there. And I've heard of, you know, people saying, well, you know, we're going to protect these people, we got to do this, the vaccine is going to save us from this, and we're seeing that that's not so true. But I also want to share with you, you know, we look at, you know, I'm in New York City, and with this, the virus itself, not necessarily COVID-19, the symptoms, right? But with SARS-CoV-2, if this was as deadly as it was, New York City's got a large homeless population. Well, so does California now. And if it was crazy, I think, wouldn't we be seeing, like, you know, ambulances picking up dead people all over, dead homeless people up all over the place? That's just my thought. Like, I was like, wow, this is crazy. We would be seeing all these people because they're not clean. They're not hygienic. They're not taking care of their health. And they're definitely, I mean, if they get a mask, it's something they may have found on the floor, right? It's like, it's pretty crazy if you think about it. But I also want to put something else into your head mentioning, you know, lower hygiene, you know, cluttered altogether. In third world countries, they're having a very different response to the actual problem itself, to the actual SARS-CoV-2 virus and COVID-19, the symptomatology. So check this out. This is another clip from Del Bigtree. I told you we're going to use a bunch of his stuff, but I want to drive you to his site for this particular topic. I'm not the expert, and this is not my medical advice to you, but this really is important for you to understand and really to pay attention to, should you want to, right? It's a choice. It's a freedom of choice, and I love the word freedom. So check this next clip out right now. Here it comes.
So in Haiti, we have they're looking at COVID-19 data across the countries, and Haiti fares well, but Haitian diaspora suffers. So in this, now we start getting into some numbers. This is from Haiti. Numbers of cumulative cases per 100,000 were about the same for Canada and the Dominican Republic, 2016 and 1910 respectively, or about 1.5 times higher than the world rate. Well, that was only 99 for Haiti, more than 12 times lower than the world rate. Now, Haiti borders the Dominican Republic.
Right.
So they're on the same island.
Same island. I actually flew in there when I was working with the Doctors television show. We flew in after the earthquake. We had to land in the Dominican Republic airport and then take a bus like 10 hours up over the top of the mountain and down to the other side, which is Haiti. So it's basically just an island divided in half. So certainly, unless the virus, you know, reads a line on a map, we should be seeing an equal amount of infection and death. But what you're saying is, is there a discrepancy in how their medical systems are? Is there a difference there?
Well, Haiti is a lot less funded than the Dominican Republic. And as we'll see moving forward, their lockdowns were vastly different as well. The Dominican Republic followed more of the United States version of the lockdown, where Haiti was just a small fraction of that. And I have some evidence of that as well. Now, let's look at the death rate of Haiti. So going back to that article, it says the number of cumulative cases per 100,000 was about the same in Canada and the Dominican Republic. Number of death rate was about twice higher in Canada than in the Dominican Republic, 50 and 24 respectively. This rate was only 2 for Haiti, or 14 times lower than the world rate. Now, when we're talking about the world rate of deaths per 100,000 people, we have basically the UK, Italy, and the US coming in third of the developed nations. The United States has about 154,000 deaths per 100,000. But let's take a look at that stringency map. So this is out of the University of Oxford, and it basically shows there's the US there, Mexico, Canada, and they're in purple, and that was a 70 on the lockdown scale. And the scale is, you can see, it's 10 to 90.
Being like 70 out of a rating of 100 for how hard you're locking down. We're locking down in the 70 percentile of lockdowns.
Right. And okay. If you want to throw that back up again, in the bottom right there under Florida, there's that island with two colors on it. One color is light blue, one is purple. The purple is the Dominican Republic, and the light blue is Haiti.
Wow.
You can see the Dominican Republic follows the same stringency as the U.S., where Haiti is only a 30, so only a fraction of what's going on in the Dominican Republic. So there's some explanation that needs to happen on that, because again, the vaccinations are not there in time, and the public health system is not able to get those out as rapidly. So the excuse of herd immunity through a vaccination is not going to hold water in a lot of these countries. And then we go on to Africa, same story, really hitting in Africa. And this was the USA Today fact checker, our friends at the fact checker. So fact check, coronavirus deaths across the continent of Africa are far less than the US, a survey says. True, according to the fact checkers. And again, poorly funded health systems are another commonality here, only about 85 deaths per 100,000. So just a little over half of what the US is going to. So let's talk about the US. Obviously, the U.S. has been a major driver throughout the world of how these lockdowns were handled. The U.K. and the U.S. were some of the first to clamp down really hard, some of the first to mask their entire population, double mask. But it appears despite...
Before we even go further, though, Jeffrey, let me get this clear, that of the entire world, the three highest death rates, so we would have to guess the three places that handled this virus the worst would be Italy, number one. Is that what you said? Number two is the UK, and number three was the United States of America under Tony Fauci's lead. I mean, I just showed you Ben Shapiro, Meghan McCain, everybody, you know, calling. And I think that hashtag Fire Fauci is skyrocketing this week. But, you know, it's really quite shocking to think that the United States of America, which has the greatest medical system in the world, and I think this is the point you're making, right? We have the greatest medical system in the world, probably the most doctors per capita in existence. We did the hardest locking down, like we were told by the WHO, but everybody else that didn't have our doctors, didn't have our hospitals, didn't have a genius like Tony Fauci are doing much better reaching herd immunity and have a far lower death rate than we do?
It appears so. It definitely appears so from what the data is. And again, the headlines and the speculation is all over the place. The experts are out in full force trying to explain what's going on, perhaps explain away in some cases what's going on. But the evidence is there, and it's staring everyone right in the face, especially in India for these last several months. So,
well, maybe that's what Meghan McCain and Ben Shapiro really need to do. Instead of getting the vaccine, which isn't going to do anything to really help you, just move to a third world nation for a while where they've already reached herd immunity and they aren't locking down, and you can be safe from this virus while the rest of us try to maybe start acting like a third world nation so that we could get to the end of this thing. All right, so where are we at, though? You said the U.S., after all the lockdowns, all of our total, you know, terrible response, which seems to be the medical response.
Right. We may be not able to avoid that dreaded herd immunity yet. This is an article out of the Wall Street Journal. According to this article, this is Marty Makary. He's a Johns Hopkins surgeon, public health expert. He says, we'll have herd immunity by April. He said the COVID cases have dropped 77% in 6 weeks. And he says, in large part, because natural immunity from prior infection is far more common than can be measured by testing. Testing has been capturing only from 10% to 25% of infections. Then he goes on to say, antibody studies almost certainly underestimate natural immunity. Antibody testing doesn't capture antigen-specific T cells, which develop memory once they're activated by the virus. Survivors of the 1918 Spanish flu were found in 2008, 90 years later, to have memory cells still able to produce neutralizing antibodies.
Wow.
So there's some, and he's been getting a lot of play in the media, which is interesting because usually that type of talk is not picked up by the mainstream. But again, people argue, well, clearly in the U.S., it's the vaccine. This is what's causing this.
Yeah, despite what I would say. There's like, no, it's not. Herd immunity is because we're finally vaccinating, right?
Right. Well, unfortunately, it doesn't, from the data that we're going to show you right now, it doesn't look like it's the case. So less than in the U.S., we have about 5.76% of the population that's been fully vaccinated. That's according to a chart that was run by The Guardian. So, I mean, it's just a small fraction of that, of the percentage of the population. So
sure,
not enough, obviously.
5.6% or whatever shouldn't lead to a 75% reduction. Certainly those numbers don't add up. Interesting.
And that's what Fauci was saying. We needed at least, 70. Then he changed it to 80% when he got called out on that. So we're nowhere close to, if we're going to be following Dr. Fauci's prescription for the herd immunity via vaccination, that's where we're at, 5.76%.
So I wanted to actually go ahead and share a little bit more about, the different countries. People have been talking to me and mentioning, oh, but Israel's, almost fully vaccinated. They're doing so well. That's how they're reporting everything. And I couldn't really answer the question. I'm not the expert by any means. I get to see the data sometimes, not all the time, but I go to my source, which is Del Bigtree, which he actually sends me the resources. You can do the same by donating and signing up for their email list. And you get tons of information. It's absolutely phenomenal. They back up everything that they share with the actual scientific data, the articles and everything. So the next few videos, they're going to kind of stream together. They're going to be about, one is going to be about Israel and the data. The second and third, I believe, that are meshed together are about children and the COVID-19 vaccine. So follow this, pay attention. It's quite mind blowing. And then what we're going to do after that, just so you're staying here, I'm going to go over certain websites and certain links that I have from Dell that I think are really important to connect some of the data so you can see some of the actual things that I get to see as well. And I think some of it may actually blow your mind a little bit more. So go ahead and keep paying attention. Here are the next few videos. Here we go.
Let's look at the Israeli coverage of their vaccination program. It's at this point, it's pretty thorough, especially for the over 60s. But our world data, this is a graph, and it basically shows the over 60s, just about 80% of them have had two doses. And the 16 to 59s, a little further down that list. But
yeah.
I'm showing that just to give the next graph. This is the severity, the cases, a severe number of patients, some gravity. So this is from the Israeli Ministry of Health, directly from their website. It's translated. So on Friday, December 18th is when the vaccination campaign started in Israel. So you can see that line right there. And then all of a sudden, we have a mountain growing of severe number of patients, active cases of severe number of patients. Now, the next graph is the death rate from that same time frame. And we see again, 1218 is when the vaccination campaign started. Here comes the mountain.
And we're talking about one of the most thorough vaccine campaigns in the world. As you pointed out, in just what, almost a month, they've managed to get 80% of their high-risk category vaccinated. So that really means something. As they're vaccinating, their death rate and serious illness is skyrocketing after the vaccination program, the opposite of what you would expect to be seeing.
Right. And those vaccines have not been tested against mortality or it's clinical illness, as Fauci right. said, not severe illnesses. So, you know, someone needs to look at that data and really explain what's going on, because those mountains are bigger than they really, if you look at that whole graph, have been in throughout the entire outbreak. So very interesting stuff there. And, you know, the final point here is the testing is now expanding to children. These are big headlines coming out of both the UK and the US. They use very similar words here. Would you let your kids be a COVID jab guinea pig? Children as young as 6 receive first Oxford jab in new trial. They have about 300 kids between ages 6 to 17. And it says, the trials, which began at Oxford University and its partner sites in London, Southampton, and Bristol yesterday, will see 240 get vaccinated and others receive a control meningitis jab. Not placebo, we have control. So at least they're using the right words, but it sure would be nice to have them give these kids a control to see some real data. And that's Oxford's
vaccine.
Well, I mean,
and frankly, when I see them, you know, Israel saying that we want to be able to publicly announce the names of people that aren't getting vaccinated, I'd like to announce the names of what type of parent puts their child into a trial for a product that is experimental. And frankly, it's the one group that doesn't need this vaccine. These kids are having almost no death at all. We know this. They barely spread it. So they have no benefit, as far as I would guess, right? No benefit. And a high-end risk based on all that we don't know. What kind of parent, honestly, puts their, oh, good, I'm being brave. I'm putting my kids on a rocket ship to Mars. I hope they survive. I'm doing, you know, a favor for the world with my child. I think this
right.
is horrible.
The ethics is highly questionable here, and I would love to understand how the Ethical Review Board comes to allow the green light for these tests.
And think about this. Think about this, Jeffrey. They're testing on kids before Fauci even is willing to do the proper study, PCR test people, to see if it stops the infection. If it does not stop the infection, which you should establish before you put innocent children in harm's way of an experimental product, at least establish that it stops infection and therefore transmission, because that would be the only reason at all, if there is any, to give it to kids that have virtually no problem with this.
Right, right. And in the U.S., kind of a similar story. Again, this is the New York Times. Similar story, similar headline with the wording, my teens are coronavirus vaccine guinea pigs. There's that word again. It says in the article, recruiting's been off to a slow start. You think they're having trouble finding participants?
Well,
right now,
news.
They're just doing... Yeah, right now they're doing teenagers 12 to 18, but in the article, Moderna says they're planning on doing kids as young as, you know, if they get emergency use for that, they're kids as young as 6 months, so 12 and younger, all the way down to 6 months. Wow. But let's take a look. Let's put this in perspective. We're talking about the rationality of trying to do this at this point in this coronavirus response. Let's look at the VAERS. This is the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System.
Right.
And we have some numbers here. So we have 929 deaths, about almost 1,900 hospitalizations, almost 3,500 trips to the urgent care. Now, these are reported after the vaccination, associated with the vaccination, the COVID vaccination. And as we know, again, New York Times, this is millions are, as millions get the shot, the FDA struggles to get the safety monitoring system running. We covered this last week.
Right.
And
this is what I was mentioning
yes.
before. But to be clear, that's a different safety monitoring system. That's specific to COVID. VAERS is just where doctors can report or people report their injuries. And we've said for, you know, years on this show, the Harvard study, just for everyone who's joining us the first time, CDC paid Harvard Medical School over $1 million to investigate the VAERS system, see how efficient it was at capturing illnesses. And what they reported was that less than 1% of the total amount of injuries actually ever get reported to VAERS.
Right. So my point here is, let's take a look at the American Academy of Pediatrics. So they're tracking the deaths in children from COVID. So here we have a graph. This is the newest data, February 18th. And we see here, we can zoom in a little bit, cumulative child deaths, 247. This is since the beginning of the pandemic. That represents basically 0.06% of children of the total deaths. So just to wrap this up, there's some quick math. There's about 74 million children under 18. And by the way, that's how the AAP, American Academy of Pediatrics, defines children, is anywhere between 0 to 17, 0 to 19, depending on how the state does it. But there's about 74 million children in that category, and 247 of them have died from COVID. Now, in the U.S., there's about 66 million people in the U.S. and that have received this vaccine, and almost 1,000 of them have died in association with it. So just to put that in perspective, when we're talking about starting studies in kids, is this really necessary at this point? And ethically, scientifically, there seems to be a lot of questions before we start rolling these kids up in these trials.
You're really pointing out, essentially, so 1,000 people out of about 66 million died that got the vaccine, and only 247 out of 75 million. So clearly the virus for children is not as deadly as the vaccine is. And so when we ask ourselves this question, well, how do we tell, you know, the risk-reward ratio? It is clear that children will fare worse if the vaccine holds up in its death rate compared to what we've seen in the virus rate. Can we bring that chart back up, though? And I don't know if we created this. Maybe this is a mistake, but this is the first time I've seen it. But the one that says what the AAP is calling the death rate, I just want to look at this for a second. This is live for you folks. No one expected this. I didn't either. But look how it says percent children of total deaths is 0.06%. They're saying that 75 million, that 247 dying out of 75 million is a death rate of 0.06%, but somehow the percent of child cases resulting in death is even lower at 0.01%. Remember, that means the survival rate of those who got infected is 99.99%, but the survival rate of all children, whether infected or not, is only 99.94%. Something's wrong with that chart. It should be the opposite. And if we could run some math, if someone wants to get back to me, 75 million divided into 247, what is that percentage? I doubt it's 0.06%. It should be a ton of zeros there.
There are things, even if you're vaccinated.
Oops, excuse me. That's just going on repeat here. So I just did the math while watching the video. And with children, the death rate is this, right? Out of the 75 million, it's 0.00000329, right? That's what I'm actually getting by doing that math. That is pretty crazy. That is pretty crazy. So I'm going to go ahead and start sharing some other information here. Some of the websites, give me one second. I'm going to have to just minimize this. Hold on. Give me one second. So I want to share some other things with you that, and I apologize, you're going to see some stuff here. Hold on. Let me get my, see if I can share this real quick. So I'm going to be sharing a website. Let's see if it goes over here. Oh, there we go. You can see it, right? So this is an actual lawsuit against New York State. I am in New York, so here you go. This is what we get to see. So they're suing the state. The Informed Consent Action Network, I believe, is suing the state because of false advertising, right? So they're sharing that the vaccine here, and I'll share this link with you, is approved. Let me see if I can find that piece here. It was approved by the FDA, and it has not been approved by the FDA. That is false advertising right now. Let me see if I can see a New York social media post violates federal law, right? So here we go. In the bottom here, all promotional material linked to the COVID-19 vaccine clearly and conspicuously state that the product has not been approved or licensed by the FDA. So New York State has been selling a little bit of a lie here. And yeah, I think we're seeing it clearly, right? It's pretty crazy. So I want to come over to the next spot here. Give me 1 second. So the next thing, these are some of the cases that we spoke about. This is really wild. This is the UK Medical Freedom Alliance. And I'm going to share it. Let me scroll to the top. I apologize. So this is February 5th, 2021. And it says, urgent warning, COVID-19 vaccine-related deaths in elderly and home care or care homes. So I'm just going to scroll through some of the, this is great. I'm going to share the link with this as well. This is pretty wild. So I'm going to scroll down here. And this is interesting here. So this one chart that you're going to see, I'm going to describe it. It has, you know, a black dotted line and a red solid line. And the red solid line are total death, are the deaths, right, in home cares in England. And then the black dotted line is a five-year average. So you're going to see somewhere around March, April, a spike, right, of deaths in home care, which is pretty crazy, going up and down. I urge you to check this out and look at the links, and you can look at it yourself. And then when they start to add the vaccine, it spikes up again near the end of this image. But as we go through, let me just scroll down here. This is a deep, long article, but they said, you know, the media reports of home care, COVID-19 outbreaks and deaths. So they have all of, you know, the UK, England, Scotland, the US, Germany, multiple times, Israel, Sweden, Canada, and Norway. They start to show some really neat graphs, which is what I'm going to scroll down to here and share. And you're going to start to see some correlation. And this is just data. So I'm guessing they probably need to start looking into the data. These countries really need to start looking in. And all the charts that you can look at for all these different countries, like the UK, for instance, we have on this graph I'm going to describe for you, we have a black line that says people vaccinated, a blue line, which is cumulative deaths after vaccine, and the red line, which is cumulative deaths before vaccines. So this is all during the COVID pandemic or plandemic, however you want to look at it and call it here. So we started at November 26th, 2020, and it has this red line that's slowly increasing, and it is cumulative deaths per million of population, right? And we're going up and up and up in the red. And around December 17th, or maybe a little bit after that week, is when England started to introduce the vaccines. And you see the red, if they're predicting where it's going to go in this dotted line, it's going up from where the vaccine came in. It's just over 1,000, maybe 1,100, we'll say, deaths per million. And as it starts to go up, you start to see this blue line, which is the cumulative deaths after vaccinations, start to go up. And then I believe this is where they start, you know, they start unloading the vaccines. You see that black line with the COVID vaccines spike up, right? Goes up. How many people are being vaccinated? And the blue line follows that exact data. So the blue line is following the black line. So the vaccines, the amount of vaccines being given, are in correlation with the amount of deaths happening after the vaccine started, right? So it jumps away from the red line average that we're looking at. And you can see this in every single country that this started. And there's an interesting one here that shows the Sweden and England, you know, their deaths, their COVID deaths, excuse me. And the black line spikes early, you know, April, May 2020 for both. England, much higher. you know, it spikes at about 4,000 deaths. And I think this is maybe per week. I'm not totally 100% sure. For Sweden, at one point in April 2020, to versus 8,000 deaths in the UK. And then that all tanks, goes down really, really low. And then we go back up. It's a really interesting graph. So they're pretty similar. Sweden is much lower. And we know Sweden didn't have those crazy lockdown measures that the UK did. And you can see January, right, where they started doing these mass vaccinations. Sweden didn't do these vaccines. They're not doing this mass vaccination. They didn't start yet. Their numbers are going down. Their death count is going down. And the UK spikes the exact opposite direction. It is wild. I urge you, you got to see this data with your own eyes, and it'll all start to make sense. They're showing Israel the same exact thing. They're showing the United Arab Emirates, the same thing. Bahrain, pretty wild when they started to introduce this vaccine slowly. Bahrain had a pretty steady flat line of deaths. You know, they were at like 200 per million, which is crazy, right? And then it just spikes up and just starts, that line is climbing like crazy when the vaccine there. And Jordan has not begun to roll out its vaccine. This is a pretty interesting one. Begun a vaccine rollout yet, and it's not suffering the same second rise in deaths this winter. So they're just keeping their steady little line the way it's going normally without the vaccine in there. So check this out. It has tons and tons of resources in there. It's pretty crazy. So some of the data that we just spoke about, here's like, this is the New York article. Excuse me, I got this ad show up here. I don't want to get rid of the darn ad, but get out of here, Ed. Let me see if I can refresh this screen here. So this just shows that 32 residents die from outbreak at Auburn Nursing Home. This is New York. Then we go over here to, this talks about, you know, only 38% of nursing home workers are accepting the COVID-19 vaccines. That's not a surprise. I think they're starting to realize what's going on, and it's quite scary. Then we jump over to Galway, and Galway says, nursing home hit by tidal wave of COVID-19 appeals for help after 12 residents die from the virus. Really wild stuff. And I'm going to share this last page with you. This is Del Bigtree's show here. This is The High Wire. I urge you to really check it out, thehighwire.com. This is the episode I shared everything from. It's episode 204. This episode was what an episode to try to put together for you. I hope it all made sense, but please do me a favor, head over here. This is the best resource for this, because you're not going to get stuff. He's not funded by the pharmaceutical companies. He's not funded by anybody. You'll see that in his intro, that he's funded by the people that support him, not by big companies that are selling products. You know, myself, I donate every single month, and I think it's something that if you value health and you value getting real reporting and real information, it's a great place to donate. And so once again, I'm Dr. Josh Hand here for Lifestyle Locker. That was a crazy conversation we just had. Make sure you make the best informed choices for your health that you can. That's my message for you. Again, this is not my medical advice. This is your choice at this point. I want you to make your best choices for you. And I trust you will. And all right, have a great day, evening, or night from wherever and whenever you're listening. We'll talk to you on the next episode. Bye-bye.